The show is brought to you by Organifi. Organifi Green Juice promises to deliver all the healthy superfoods you need in just one drink. It's a green powder that promises to deliver endless energy, mental clarity, and fewer sugar cravings. As a loyal listener of this show, you'll receive 15% off your order. My personal favorite is their Sunrise to Sunset Bundle, as it includes three of the best sellers. Use my promo code WRESTLING15 to get 15% off your order today. That's Organifi. Shop.com. Organifi spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. Organifi, O-R-G-A-N-I-F-I. So go to OrganifiShop.com and order yours today.
Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you
WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM 96.9 FM. Hope you're enjoying your Thanksgiving week. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Man, nothing much. Thanksgiving is up on us and holiday season. WWE and wrestling is like at a highest level I've ever seen it in a long time. Everybody's talking about WWE, whether it's about Becky Lynch being punched in the face, whether it's about Ronda Rousey getting beat down by Charlotte, or it's about Daniel Bryan turning heel. Wrestling is in everybody's mouth. Well, let's get started here for the Survivor Series. We saw Monday Night Raw get a clean sweep over the SmackDown brand. If you don't count the pre-show, which Xavier Woods said on his Twitter that the pre-show does count. The pre-show does count, and the SmackDown got a win there. Well, let's start right there. Why would WWE exclude the pre-show as if that match didn't happen? I know they used to do it back in the day with going to WrestleMania, where the Royal Rumble wasn't on the paper, wasn't on the DVD and all that. So, well, the Battle Royal wasn't on the DVD. But why would you do all that thing of getting a captain, which the Usos fighting New Day, have a captain, have two teams, the whole storyline on Raw with Gable and him, with Braun Strowman interfering, and have captains to not include that into your total?
Well, from what it seems like, according to most of the dirt sheets, is honestly just an oversight from a lack of communication between creative and the head guys, because apparently, from what they're saying, Vince wanted a clean sweep of Raw all the way through, and I guess some of creative didn't realize the pre-show counted, or they thought it didn't count, so they booked SmackDown to win, and then all of a sudden, Vince wants the entire Raw sweep, so they tried to, just talk it to where hey, pre-show, that's counter. That was, you know, they tried to wing it, but it wasn't working too well. So
definitely wasn't working too well. But that Raw team, if we really look at it on paper, really couldn't beat that SmackDown team.
They had no chance anyway.
Had no chance of beating that SmackDown team anyway. No chance whatsoever beating that team. It was the main show, and we saw on the main show, and I want to skip right to the main event, Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar. Thought that match was great. I think Daniel Bryan being a heel told a great story. It was a great storytelling, you know, even from him being running from Brock at the beginning to the point, to the end, where he almost made Brock Lesnar tap out. I'm looking in, I'm thinking, you know, pass out. Brock's about to pass out. Then I thought in my mind, I had to go to the dollars and cents right here. He can't pass out because he might be in the UFC later and Daniel Cormier may have some material. That's not going to happen. But what's your thoughts on Daniel Bryan turning heel in the Brock Lesnar match?
Well, Daniel Bryan turning heel is a great move. It provides something fresh, something new. And he needed something fresh. I mean, the as good as the Yes Movement is and, you know, the fan response to it, I could see where some people may think it's run its course in WWE. So, unfortunately, with Daniel's injuries that kind of made him prematurely retire initially, it took a whole lot of steam off of that Yes Movement, because that Yes Movement was pretty, you know, mainstream, like the public, you know, for a good while when it first started. But with Daniel being out of wrestling and, you know, it just faded away. So this is something new, something different. I like it. Now, him and Brock Lesnar, when it was booked, that was done extremely well because you knew Brock was going to get his throws, get his flips, and, you know, flipping Daniel Bryan around is what I mean. You knew he was going to throw him all over the place. So I get that. I get it. But for them to kind of book it to where Daniel has this resurgence and you really almost thought Daniel Bryan was about to win, it was like, okay, I like where this went. Because they didn't kill off Daniel Bryan to look completely helpless because he is the WWE champion. And, you know, that's the problem you kind of run into with Brock Lesnar is that, yes, Brock Lesnar is dominant, but you don't want him completely dominating your other champion either. So I like the story that it told, and I like Daniel's explanation on SmackDown saying that, you know, he beat the last, I think he said something along the lines of he beat the last of the old Daniel Bryan out, now it's the new Daniel Bryan.
And that's why he was laughing at the end. That's why he was laughing at the end. He had that grin and smile, that the transformation was complete. That, you know, that Brock may help him get to where he was at right now. And which I like to heal Daniel Bryan. My thing is, who now besides AJ Styles is the top face on SmackDown? I think SmackDown has a hard time having other faces.
Rey Mysterio or Jeff Hardy. It's going to be Rey Mysterio or Jeff Hardy. I can tell you that now. Unless they turn Shinsuke face again, which I doubt. I think your top five guys are AJ, Rey, and Jeff Hardy, and your top heels right now on SmackDown are Daniel Bryan, Miz, Randy Orton, and, you know, Shinsuke's there. So,
Shinsuke's there. And, you know, the Miz may switch over to face. You might see that. You never know. There's been rumors out there with him switching over.
Yeah, but the only thing is they got to make sure they do it right. They got to make sure they do it right. The first time, it wasn't too well received when he turned face first time about 6 years ago.
He's a better heel. In my opinion, he's a better heel anyway. I don't know why WWE want to mess with The Miz. He's a better heel. But if you're looking at things now, the way he's sucking up the Shane McMahon and all that other stuff, I can see him switching off against Shane McMahon. Shane McMahon becomes the heel. The Miz becomes the face.
You know what?
And we get
That's
Shane McMahon.
Where they may end up going. Because what do you have for Miz right now? I can see, you know what? For the type of matches that Shane puts on and the storylines that he's in, him and Miz is probably perfect right now.
Right. Yeah, so I can see those two getting on.
Absolutely.
And then we saw, you know, speaking of Raw, or speaking of Survivor Series, We saw Ronda Rousey take on Charlotte Flair in this match, which Ronda Rousey won, but she didn't pin Charlotte Flair. It was a disqualification match. And then we saw Charlotte Flair just snap. I mean, snap with the kendo stick, with steel chairs, with the chair in the neck of Ronda Rousey, and she stomped on it. If you watched Monday Night Raw and you didn't see the Survivor Series pay-per-view, you saw the bruises on Ronda Rousey's leg, her neck, in the side of her face. You know, shout out to Charlotte Flair, but more importantly, shout out to Ronda Rousey. I mean, let's think about this. Ronda Rousey has really only been in the WWE, quote unquote, main rosters since WrestleMania to wrestle, and the development she's had each pay-per-view has really grown. If you're not a fan of Ronda Rousey, you need to go back and watch what she's done. And, you know, I'm comparing her right now. I think she's picking up like Kurt Angle picked it up. That competitiveness, not wanting to lose, understanding where she's supposed to be at, her timing. I mean, that kick out that she had, the timing where you thought Charlotte Flair ripped her in half with a spear, it was perfect timing.
She's
getting good, but the snap of Charlotte Flair, I've always said it, I think I've said it on this show several times, Charlotte Flair to me is better as a heel than ever being a face. Charlotte Flair is a heel. She's a good heel. My only question, since you're the wizard, and I'll let you elaborate on the Charlotte turn, where do they go now with Becky being a heel and Charlotte being a heel as well?
So, here's the thing. Right now, by classification, Becky is a heel. I don't care what anybody says. Champ free. I don't care. She's a heel. However, due to circumstances, i.e. Nia punching her in the face, she's going to be a face now. And that's the way they're going to book it. They're going to book it kind of where, because if you notice, Charlotte's not really a full-fledged heel yet. Because she was fighting the Iconics. So, realistically, right now, they're going to kind of book them both as tweeners with them leaning towards the other side. So, you'll have Charlotte as a tweener, but she's going to be leaning more towards the heel run. And you'll have Becky transition from being a heel to more of the tweener now with more of the face booking. So,
Which most people will say, Champ Creed again, that should have happened at SummerSlam, and the WWE lucked up with her getting punched in the face.
I take some water. What ends up happening now is that, the fans were cheering Becky. Let's get something straight here. They were cheering Becky, obviously, clearly. But what ends up going on with this is that, which I think a lot of people miss, the fans are cheering Becky, but the booking of what they're doing with her was her being a heel. They were booking her as a heel. They were booking Charlotte as the face. I get that. From pure, you know, grassroots of it, that's what it was, face and heel. However, all of that changed with the hug and all of that, and they're going to kind of book it to where Charlotte and Becky have the respect, and they be cool again. But one of them, it's definitely going to be the opposite now. Charlotte's going to end up probably being the heel, and Becky's going to be the face. But if it was me, I would have honestly, and people hear me out, it wouldn't have killed her momentum. I would have had Becky drop the belt and have her come back and do the whole road to WrestleMania reclamation of her belt. And then have her run.
Go Naomi from 2 years ago.
Yes and no. Only because hers is a little different.
Yeah, hers is a little different, but hometown. But, you know, you dropped the belt before WrestleMania because of the injury, or concussion, whatever case may be. And your face being, I can say shattered, but bruised severely.
She broke her face.
Yeah, but WWE not having her to drop the title, they figured she'd be back in time within those, as we just kayfabe 30 days to defend her title. You know, they didn't want her to relinquish the title because they thought she wasn't going to be back. if they thought she wasn't going to come back, they would have let her, she would have relinquished the title. WWE doctors and everyone else would say, you know what, she's going to be back in time enough to make a title defense. But what does that say to the other girls on the roster? Like, yo, bump it. We're not going to let Becky drop a title. She'll be back.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would have had her drop it and then, or relinquish it and then have her come back at the Rumble. Because let's face it, she's going to get cheered out of that building, but she's going to get cheered out of that life at WrestleMania.
Yes. Yes.
New York crowd, they're going to cheer.
And not only the New York crowd, the European crowd. The European crowd that will be in for WrestleMania is going to cheer Becky Lynch.
Right, absolutely. So,
you know,
if you're going to have all of that, you might as well go ahead and run with it. Have Becky be cheered. It's going to be that, you know?
Yeah, definitely that. I think Charlotte and Becky's on a collision course again. I think you might throw Ronda Rousey in the mix. I wouldn't be surprised if we got a triple threat match at WrestleMania, or we get Charlotte and Ronda too.
No, Ronda. I can tell you now, Ronda's defending the world championship, or the women's championship, rather, at WrestleMania. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah, so that means Charlotte wins Royal Rumble.
Yeah, but we don't know if it's going to be Charlotte and Ronda or if it's going to be Becky and Ronda. We don't know that.
Right.
Because Becky still can drop the belt between now and Rumble and be in the Rumble.
She could be.
It's wide open. I like the way it is, but honestly, on paper, it seemed like initially before Becky got her face broke, it was probably going to be Charlotte winning the Rumble and going to WrestleMania.
Yes. But we still got another, when we speak of the Raw Women's title, we got another one. Another wrinkle in that situation, which is Nia Jax, who at Evolution won an opportunity to face Ronda Rousey, which we know now that she would take on Ronda Rousey at the TLC pay-per-view for the Raw Championship. Does Nia have a chance to win this? She has a chance, but do we think Ronda goes in?
She has a chance. You know why? You know why she has a chance? Because they could end up flipping all of this on us. To where it's Charlotte or Becky as SmackDown champion, and Rousey wins the Rumble and goes to SmackDown.
And that's what I wanted to throw in it. It could be all flipped upside down with Nia Jax against Ronda Rousey, and Ronda giving Ronda her first loss in the WWE. Anything can happen in that match where Nia Jax gets there. Let's stay on Nia Jax real quick, and I know we spent a lot of time on the women. This, her punching Becky Lynch in the face, is the best thing to happen to Nia Jax's career.
I was about to say that. That's the best thing to happen to her in a long time. And I'm sure a lot of people thought she was going to get a lot of heat. But the way the heat generated from the fans, WWE was probably like, hold on. That's ultimately, I think, what made the call, Glenn.
Yeah.
Is that if it wasn't so negatively received by the fan, then backstage they'd have been like, okay, what are you doing? But because they were like, oh, wait a minute, we just got another star made out of this situation because now everybody hates Nia Jax. We're going to run with it.
Right, and we didn't notice her. Even though she turned heel 2 weeks ago, it didn't have an impact. It didn't have no effect whatsoever when she turned on Ember Moon. Her being punching Becky in the face and making her bleed, breaking her orbit bone, and allowing her to put her out of commission for this pay-per-view gave her so much heat with the fans that she is a natural heel right now. She really doesn't have to do anything. And the way that she plays it up on social media has just took her to another level.
Now, what about this? What if they go – this would be interesting. What if they go – and they do Nia Jax wins the Rumble, and they do Nia and Becky at WrestleMania, and they do Charlotte and Ronda at WrestleMania.
I think that'd be cool too. And I think we also leaving out a person, and that depends on her health. Alexa Bliss.
I don't think it's sad to say. I don't know if she ever comes back, man. I really don't.
Yeah, this concussion thing in the WWE, they are really safe as they should be. Let me preface that. They're really safe. But I think Alexa has found her new career if she does not come back. As long as they keep her on TV, she can talk. She can be a GM. She can do everything
that's
on the microphone.
That's probably what ends up happening. She probably ends up being the GM. For real.
Yeah, she can do a lot of things. But, I hope to see her back in the ring. I hope her career is not over. There's a lot of matches that I'd love to see her in the near future. But only time will tell as her health gets better. Let's get to another note from Survivor Series that everybody's talking about, and it's been a big splash, and that's Enzo Amore.
Yeah, let's get on that, please.
Enzo dressing up, which he didn't want the fans to know that he was there, and it got out much earlier, which it did get out early anyway, because we saw him on Instagram doing a tag team match or doing this match where he was disguised in the front row. But nothing wrong with Enzo Amore buying a ticket and being at a WWE event. Let me put that there. Now, but when you stand on, and we've been to many events, and I've even been guilty of this. When you stand on a cheer at a WWE event and you're in the front row, I don't care who you are, security's going to tell you sit down. My 10-year-old son, if you remember, we was at the Capital Punish, we was in Verizon Center, he was standing on a chair. Security told us several times, look, you need to put him down. He needs to sit down. So Enzo being a fan, doing his rant, his promo, you can't teach that, doing a tag team title match, that is all good. But when Enzo stood on that chair, that became the problem for him. And WWE had
to take him out. You know what? I don't even think it was that far. I just think it was him being there. Him being there where he was sitting, unfortunately, WWE does have that right. They can remove you from the show. They can. And there's not really much you can do about it. Unless you have a plausible case where you weren't disrupting anything. I mean, at this point, for him, he just stood on the chair. He completely ruined it for himself on that.
But he didn't care. He just wanted publicity for his show. And then he also wanted the fact that he's never going to wrestle again. So guess what? I don't care. I'm never going to go to WWE again. So whatever you do to me, you can't arrest me. You can just kick me out the arena. And that's it. He just didn't care. And I thought it was funny, that he would go through the great lengths just to be able to sell out a show. We know he has an album coming out. To sell out a show the next night and to promote his album.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it seemed like he's using the back of the WWE to get himself over.
Yeah, I just really was like, when I saw it, I really was like, oh. And I went ahead and watched it back because you can't really, you don't really know, during the live show. But I definitely watched it back and I really was like, oh, that's definitely him. I was like, and you could see the Sheamus and Cesaro and AOP. You see him in the ring looking like, oh, that's him. Like, so.
Yeah.
Hey,
and shout out to those social media. Social media, you can put the whole timeline together from the different views. You can see from the time he gets up on the chair to the time he gets off, to the time that he gets ran out of the arena by our lady friend. I got to find out her name because that's the same one that tackled Gronk. He didn't know that he was part of the show
right.
A couple years ago at WrestleMania. Didn't know that. She gets a lot of security love. To the fact where you saw Enzo and her having a discussion after she pulled him out and wouldn't allow him to go back to his seat and kindly walked him out of the arena or through the back into the arena, which now Vince McMahon allegedly, according to the sheets, Vince McMahon was furious and hot that Enzo tried to hijack the show. That he has been banned from all WWE shows indefinitely, which I haven't figured out how they would do that.
Somebody spots him. He can't buy it. I think that, because it's weird how that works online. I think something to where you can't, I don't know how it works because I've never been banned, so I don't know how it works. But it's something, I'm sure. Somehow they enforce it or whatnot, but
I think
you never know. I mean, he really I doubt it with him that he ever comes back, but you really, it really is a never say never situation.
It is a never say never position. It is really a never.
Yeah, you know, he gets the right training and builds up some steam, maybe goes to Impact and does something over there, or, I mean, forbid, goes to New Japan or something and does something over there, joins the Bullet Club or something, who knows? And you never know. You just never know.
Yeah, people have done worse and has been forgiven by Vince McMahon.
Yep.
People have done worse and been forgiven. You know, that's, speaking of being asking for forgiveness for Vince McMahon, this is allegedly James Ellsworth. Got to touch on that a little bit because of the low-down, dirty shame, don't know, allegations. Allegations came out against James Ellsworth over the past weekend, if you have not heard, that a 16-year-old girl alleged James Ellsworth of sending her nude pictures, sending her nude pictures and doing crude acts on Snapchat. Because of the actions, James Worth has been fired from several of his podcasts. He's also been relieved of his duties at several indie shows. I mean, the indie shows have told James Ellsworth to stay away. Your thoughts on this thing? I know we've come to the future. We've come to the age, day and age that all sexual assaults, violence, rude acts against young girls and women in general, you know, people are not tolerating anymore.
I mean, it shouldn't be tolerated, but, you know, thing is, we also have a justice system. I'm not condoning any of it. There's also a justice system that he's, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And even though, you know, there's plenty of evidence looking like that he's guilty, I mean, if it ever comes out that I'll put it this way, if it ever comes out that it wasn't true or if it was made up or something, man, he got some money coming his way, because that's lawsuits all up and down, you know?
It is, and, you know, we live in a day and age where that could be the case. Look at the Enzo Amore case. When we talked about that earlier, he got fired from the WWE, and it comes out there was no charges ever filed against him, with just an investigation. He got fired because he didn't tell the WWE what was going on. Here is James Ellsworth's situation. At the time that we record this, there have not been any charges pressed against James Ellsworth.
All right.
I'm just, as a father, my 16-year-old daughter said this grown man sends her nude pictures or sends her things of that nature. First of all, I'm looking for him. Second of all, I'm going to the police station to press charges.
Yeah.
Based off investigation. So I'm just saying there's nothing at the time, nothing has been pressed. No charges are pressed against James Ellsworth as of this time. Just want to leave it there. I think all of it will come out in the wash here in the future. Hats off to him, young girl.
Yeah, it's going to depend, man, because we don't know. We don't know what's going on with that.
I'm going to move to some happier times. NXT, Velveteen Dream taking on Tommaso Ciampa. You know, your thoughts on the Velveteen Dream and Tommaso Ciampa. NXT, Lars Sullivan getting called up. I'm scratching my head on this one. Help me explain.
Lars Sullivan. Honestly, I'll put it this way. Honestly, what's really left for him down at NXT? He's already had the title shot. He's already, you know, pretty much, he had his little mini feud with Velveteen just now, and there's nothing else left. There's nothing else left for him to do. I doubt they were going to put the belt on him. So we honestly don't know. There's nothing left for him. Like I said, there's really nothing left. Everything that you were going to probably do with him in NXT, they've done it. So move him up. Honestly, hey. I see him as the Kane replacement, for real. That's honestly what I see him as.
I saw him as a replacement, but now with Braun being hurt or being out, if you watch past Monday Night Raw with an injury to his elbow, I can see him developing him to grow, be a monster, which gives you that Kane placement as well. So I agree with that. I can see that. And they probably build him up slowly, give him some jobbers at first, and slowly build him up to what he needs to be. I'm just saying, they haven't – NXT call-ups, they haven't really been too many successful NXT call-ups to Monday Night Raw. I'm looking at No Way Jose, which we haven't seen on Monday Night Raw TV in, like, weeks. You got the Ascension. You got a lot of people who've been called up to the main roster, and they haven't really done anything with them. Why not leave them at NXT, let them develop it more, and just keep them on that brand as your main stars? Which goes to my point where I started with the Velveteen Dream. Velveteen Dream is one of those guys that everybody wants to get called up, but he's doing a great job at NXT with people like Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and the rest of those NXT stars, the Undisputed Era. If NXT is the third brand, why do you have to get called up?
It's still the developmental brand. Whether you want to look at it any other way or not, it is. It's still the developmental brand, man. At the end of the day.
It is, but if you're looking at Major League Baseball, if you look at, you know, the G League, you know, there are times where people just stay down there for a while. And even if you was on the main roster or you was in the NBA, you can go back and play in the G League. Shannon Brown, for instance, is in the G League. He has a championship ring with the Los Angeles Lakers. You know, but I'm saying that to say is to keep the NXT brand strong, because there was a time when NXT called a lot of people up that it went dormant. They didn't have that major star. And I think they got to be careful when they call people up and just let the brand continue to grow. And when they're ready and there's a place for them, and that's my issue with the WWE, with the NXT, right now they call people up and there's no place for them on the main roster.
Absolutely. Here's the counter to that, though, Glenn. Here's the counter is that some of these stars that they have down there, I feel as though because they still book NXT as the developmental brand, they don't want somebody to look like they stayed down there so long, you know. That, and I honestly think Vince doesn't watch the product, so when he gets them to the main roster, he doesn't know what to do with them. Like, Hunter can't really save them but so much on the main roster because it's still not his.
Right. I can agree with that when you have people, you know, homegrown NXT stars. But when you have somebody like Bobby Roode, that was down in NXT for a while, you know.
That one I don't understand. That one I for sure thought he'd be a legit main roster star by now.
Right.
Like, he's really treading water right now. He really is.
Right, maybe it's just too much. But when you look at it, you see why a guy like maybe Austin Aries or a guy like Neville say, you know what, I can't do this. Bounce, done. You know, I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know, not. But then you look at the other end where you see a guy like Drew McIntyre, who was also in NXT, but comes and he just takes it to another level. Is it the star?
He's a WWE guy. Let's call him spade a spade with that one. He was NXT, but not really. He was far in the sense of who was down there at the time. He was down there. He was above everybody else. That was just to reintroduce Drew McIntyre that was to help NXT. I'll put it that way. That was to give NXT a star name down there. Build Drew's following back up a little bit. And put him back on the main roster. He was back on the main roster in no time. It probably would have been there sooner had he not got hurt.
Right. I was about to say, if he hadn't got hurt, then he would have been, I think he would have been there just a little bit sooner. If I'm not mistaken, he beat Bobby Roode for the title.
Yes.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken on that. So he beat Bobby Roode. The same guy that we're talking about, you know, right now is teaming with Chad Gable. And I'm not saying nothing wrong with Chad Gable, because I like Chad Gable. I think Chad Gable has a great upside to him. He just haven't found his niche neither in there. I'd rather they almost made Chad Gable Kurt Angle's son than Jason Jordan.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I
see where they were going with Jason Jordan. Just sucks he got hurt.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying this, that the NXT brand, it's okay to keep those guys down there. You know, you know, even though they called Ember Moon up, what really has she done on the main roster?
Yeah, you know what? she's going to be one that ends up getting lost in the shuffle. It's sad to say. She's going to end up getting lost in the shuffle. Because her being on the same show as Ronda Rousey, if you're not a good foil that meshes well with Rousey, then it's going to be trouble. Because it's like you have Ember Moon, which, okay, you have her. But with Ronda Rousey, you could do Nia, you could do Bayley, you could do Sasha, you can do Alexa, you know.
You could do Natalya. You can even do Natalya to build a storyline with her and Natalya.
And you can do Ruby Riott. There's other people ahead of Ember Moon, and it's weird to say that, but it is. It's true.
Right. And I think that's another reason why you don't – even if you bring Shayna Baszler up, she goes above Ember Moon because that connection with Ronda Rousey.
Yep.
You know, the four horsewoman thing. So you're correct. Ember Moon does take a back seat.
And you know what else, too? You know what else, too, Glenn? Ember was never really booked as a major force in NXT either. Because she stayed taking L's to Austin. Like, she stayed losing.
She never beat her. I think she ended up winning a tournament. Didn't she end up winning the tournament? She never beat us.
Yeah, she won a three-way for the Women's Championship. In which, if I'm not mistaken, she barely beat Shayna the first time. And they booked Shayna better than to be better than Ember the whole time.
Yes.
It was weird. It was like Ember never really got a heavy push in the sense of booking her as a major force. She was booked very well. She was booked solid, very well. She was never booked as – nobody was booked as Asuka, but she wasn't booked Asuka-esque on that level.
No, but it goes to me, it's like this. It's like when Michael Jordan left Chicago, you didn't want to be the next quote-unquote star to go to Chicago. When Kobe left the Lakers and retired, you didn't want to be the next "quote unquote" star to be in L.A. You wanted to wait a year. One of the reasons I think Russell Westbrook didn't go to L.A. because he's like, oh, Kobe just left. They could compare me to Kobe. You know, LeBron waited just enough that, you know, he's not compared to Kobe. Same thing with Ember Moon. You became the champion after Asuka held it for over 300 some days. Yeah, 500 some days. So what were you gonna do different? You would have to be a megastar in order to get that shine and that rub that from Asuka. And I think that's what killed Ember Moon. She had a good match. Then she gets called up, you know, this year. And she best thing she's known for is having a feud with Nia Jax and getting turned on. Almost winning Women's Evolution. Battle Royal.
Yeah,
almost.
But even then, what has she done since then?
Nothing.
They've done nothing with it, and Ron and Nia broke Becky's face. So,
right.
All this shit
almost
with Nia.
It's almost to the point where I think the women. I love the women's division. It's almost too many women.
I won't say it's too many women, but they don't get enough time. There's not enough women's segments.
Okay.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, not enough segments. I give you that. There's not enough segments. They don't get enough time to develop other stars like Dana Brooke, even sometimes Naomi, you know, those people on SmackDown, the women on SmackDown, like they don't get enough time to develop some of the women that they have on the roster.
Right.
And some of the women get lost. And that's where it's going to end up happening to Ember Moon, because we'll have five segments of Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins looking for each other going through the building, then more so putting women and everybody else on the card. Or on TV. And I think that's the difference. That's the difference between this era and the era, the Attitude Era, because if you look at the Attitude Era, and I don't like to compare it to, but there was, even in that three-hour time they had, they was always finding a way to have people on TV. You had the right to censor. You had, you know, Godfather had his segment. You had Val Venus had his segment. You had the segment with The Rock and Triple H. Everybody had a segment which invested you in a storyline. Even if it was a B-plus storyline or C-plus storyline, you was invested in that storyline because they had time on TV. And that WWE has not been able to do that so far with some of the women that's on there. But we know that we got a TLC pay-per-view coming up. I mentioned earlier, Braun Strowman will be out for an extended period of time because of the elbow. And it just made me think about a couple years ago, I think it was 2 years ago when he did the elbow. We thought he was going to be out for 6 months, and he came back like in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, as it seemed. So is this the same elbow that he got operated on that he didn't really let fully heal, or is it a different elbow?
I don't know. I haven't even looked to see.
Gotcha. So I just don't think he'll be out that long. I think he will be able to make the TLC pay-per-view, in my opinion, if it's the elbow that happened. The same elbow from a couple years ago when he was supposed to be out 6 months, was only out like a month or a month and a half. I think it makes the TLC pay-per-view as well. You know, so that's one of the major things that's going on in the WWE. Your thoughts, another match that was made for TLC that's been announced already, Dean Ambrose taking on Seth Rollins. I'm invested in this, but at the same time, I'm like, can they get a new dance partner? Can they do something different? How can you do something different on Raw until the TLC pay-per-view with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose to keep my attention, because it's been almost 2 months now and they haven't touched each other. Well, they touched each other this past Monday night.
Well, that's the way you want to book it, honestly, I think. I think you really don't want Seth and Dean having any kind of a real match or anything close to it until TLC. I think you do that, and honestly, somehow, some way, I think Dean wins it.
I do think Dean becomes Intercontinental Champion. To me, the Intercontinental Championship with Seth Rollins has been a afterthought. He's done everything else besides defend the Intercontinental Championship. I mean, he's been a tag team champion. He's been part of the Shield. I can't recall the last time he defended it was against Dolph Ziggler, if I'm not mistaken, on TV. And that's been months ago. You know, the Intercontinental Championship has really been dormant. And so I think if Dean Ambrose wins the Intercontinental Championship, it will bring new life to the Intercontinental Championship. Also provide Dean Ambrose with new dance partners that come and try to take it off of. And yet, I like a heel champion. He is a heel, and will be a great have a heel champion to antagonize some of the people in the back.
Right.
And with him returning, it'd be a great time to become the maybe, you know, he'll be able to get a world title, universal title shot against Brock Lesnar, which I don't think is gonna happen, nonetheless. But you know, he's the Intercontinental champion to move on. Start it up. You know, but it's been a great week of professional wrestling. There's been a lot of things going on in the world of professional wrestling. Ronda Rousey, we mentioned that earlier, Charlotte, Becky Lynch. You know, coming up on the month of December, the last month of this year. In 2018, we've seen a lot in the world of professional wrestling from all brands, whether it was Ring of Honor, whether it was New Japan, whether it's WWE, whether it's Impact Wrestling. Right now, wrestling is at its highest, one of its highest peaks in a long, long time. You know, before we get out of here, give us some of your closing thoughts and what you're looking forward to for the rest of this year as we close, get ready to go into the month of December, and we close out November.
I mean, pretty much at this point, at the end of the year, we may have one or two close-offs of storylines, but nothing too major, because this is really that time of year, nothing too major happens. But then we'll get to New Year's Day or whatever, that New Year's first Raw of the year, that's when stuff will start to pick up again. So right now, pretty much, like I said, maybe some mini feuds to carry you through December, but nothing major.
Appreciate you. Thank y'all guys for joining us. Thank you for listening to us. Always go to iTunes. I leave a 5-star review. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, so you never miss any of our shows. Also, if you listen to us on YouTube, hit the bell notification and subscribe button as well, so you won't miss any of the shows. Google Play, Stitch. You can find us on Google Play, find us on Stitcher, find us on SoundCloud. You can also find us everywhere you get your social media. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Wrestling Marks of Excellence on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. Wizard, take us home.
If you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Have a great Thanksgiving. Catch you next week.